We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for December 1st, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll have energy analysis with Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Also this half hour, an update of crop progress in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota. And we'll also have the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
Tuesday afternoon, futures settled like this. In Kansas City, December wheat, 556 and three quarters, down 3 3/4. March, 571 and a half, down 3 1/2. CME Group December wheat, 562 and a half, down 5. March, 584, down 4 3/4. December corn, 399 and 3/4, down 3. March, 414 and a half, down 3. May, 424 and a half, down 2 3/4. July, 432 and 3/4, down 3. September, 438 and a half, down 4. January beans, 1059 and a half, down 1. March, 1066 unchanged. May, 1069 and 3/4, up 1. July, 1075 and a half, up 1. August, 1071 and 3/4, up 1/4. December soybean meal, 324.70, down 210. January, 313.40, down 180. December soybean oil, 40.58, up 39. January, 40.92, up 34. December live cattle, 82.55, down 65. January feeders, 93.47 and a half, up 52 and 1/2. December lean hogs, 59.22 and a half, up 62 and a half, and February bellies, 84.60, down 145. And those are Tuesday's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser says tonight, look for a gradual increase in cloudiness, lows ranging from 30 in far northern Illinois to 38 in the south. Tomorrow, in northern and west central Illinois, cloudy and turning colder with a few scattered snow showers and flurries during the afternoon. Elsewhere, cloudy with rain showers arriving. Highs ranging from 37 in far northwestern Illinois to 50 degrees in the south. Ed Kieser's extended highlights, he says, colder air arrives on Wednesday night with rain showers changing to snow showers. Much colder weather dominates Thursday into the weekend with high temperatures in the upper 20s and 30s and lows in the teens and 20s. There may be a brief moderation in temperature early next week, but the trend to cold weather will last through at least mid-month. Scattered flurries will occur on Thursday and Friday, but significant precipitation is not expected Thursday through Sunday. And medium-range computer models indicate a chance of significant precipitation across Illinois and Indiana during the middle of next week.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Dave.
It looked at the beginning of the day to be a promising day in wheat, but it turned into a turnaround Tuesday. What happened?
Well, we started the day, Dave, with a weaker dollar, strong crude prices, and gold going to a new all-time high, about $1,200 an ounce. All of that, of course, brought in fund buying early on the market this morning, along with being the first day of the month, which we generally see new money coming into the index funds. Then we also had China's monthly economic activity index that was around 55, I think that, and it was a little bit above the expectation was thought to be friendly to gold and energy prices also. And we just ended the month of November where we saw beans rally 84 cents, corn rally 38 cents, and wheat 74 cents during a time period when we'd looked at the WASDE reports that looked to be just a little bit negative to those commodities. And we saw early fund buying that seemed to evaporate by mid-morning, and then as we got into later in the day, we actually didn't see the big index funding buying on the close that we expected to see today.
Was it more than the funds not buying on the close, or were people banking some profits in here?
Well, I think that, as we look at these things, the index funds just buy and stay long and just possibly roll over. But I think that some of the other funds looked at, if we looked at our support and resistance numbers this morning, Jan Bean's resistance was 1077, Dave. And if we look, the high was 1078.5. So we went about there, and I think that we saw other people that had bought with the anticipation of fund buying coming in the first of the month here were willing to take profits at that resistance level. The resistance level in the March corn was also 421 this morning on the sheets. 21 and a quarter is where it topped out at, mm-hmm. where the other funds and local traders were willing to take profits. So that along with it, and then let's look at the March wheat. Our resistance was 594. We did push to 98. We went a little farther through that, but, not much through the resistance points. And we saw the local traders and some of the other traditional funds willing to take profits there on the rally.
I mean, you look at January soybeans, for example, the top there, 1078.5, which, you might make the case is close enough to $11. In other words, we're getting to the levels where the upside potential maybe not as great as the potential downturns. Yes.
Well, I think we've said all along that we feel that fundamentally this market is higher than what we think it should be for world supplies and demand. Looking out there, Dave, we have somewhat seen export numbers, especially in corn, above $4, start turning people's eyes to other places and. Our exports drying up a little bit there. In this range, we're also seeing people say, hey, the Chinese can buy the beans out of their own country's reserves cheaper than they can pay to have them shipped over, U.S. beans to be shipped there right now. And we're seeing a backup in meal with the aggressive way that the U.S. crushers have been crushing right now. The base is seeming to fall back on it right now. So as we get close to $11 beans, we seem to be pricing ourselves out of the market.
And I would also say probably the same is true for 425 corn, and we're 421 and a quarter today. But it has looked to me over the last month, whenever corn has been at this kind of level, demand dries up.
Yeah, and it's really sort of funny as we look at the March corn chart. I'm not a real technician here, but looking at some of the work done, that there's an ascending triangle there, mm-hmm. and a close above the 425 double top actually clears a path for a quick advance to 477. So, we're real close to points that technically could break out and push the top side, but what we're looking at right at the moment says we're seeing resistance, and those resistance levels seem to have held today.
Yeah, and on the downside, if you're keeping an eye on that, I would suggest that maybe the 200-day moving average at 397.5 might be a good place to keep an eye. You wouldn't want to see things go south of there, I suspect.
No, I mean those are some good technical numbers, Dave.
What else are you keeping an eye on? And by the way, you made a lot of phone calls today, obviously. What are people talking about?
Well, I think the one thing that most of my phone calls were was we know the funds have pushed it. We just went through the numbers of what they've done in the last month, which generally doesn't happen during that much activity of harvest, pushing higher, especially when the yields have been as good as they have. It was how far can the funds push them? I know we're at good levels to make money, but I sure hate to leave money laying on the table if we're going to move another 50 to 60 cents higher. And it's the idea of I know I should be selling something, but I hate to sell in an uptrend. And we've been in that uptrend for the last month. So mainly the farmers are beginning to feel like they would like to sell, but along the way, you know, they're scared to sell into the funds activities.
You pick up any more 2010 sales today?
We actually missed our 2010 sales by a penny today. So, but we'll probably be back in there tomorrow looking to add to them if we do happen to turn around and go back higher.
What do you make of the fact that, you know, where we are in harvest and there's about 2.7 billion of bushels still in the fields?
Well, we've got a pretty good idea, and we've watched in the past corn in the field. Delay unless the weather gets really nasty with snow and delays like that. We know about what percentage of things we can lose that way. And with the new hybrids, why we've got a better standability and going on like that, Dave. So, you know, and I don't think we're near as bad with corn left out in the fields as it were beans. Beans, the pods start popping, and we see a much higher field loss ratio on those. So, but, I mean, it is still out there. It is still up in the air, and that's why there's a lot of questions about what our final yield will be and what our carryout's going to be because of that.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, the National Agricultural Statistics Service reported that as of November 29th, 79% of the corn crop is in the bin, up from 68% a week ago, and the five-year rolling average of 97%. 96% of the soybean crop has been harvested versus 94% a week ago, and the five-year rolling average of 98%. Here are the state reports from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending November 29th. Muddy combines plowed through the cornfields last week as harvest continued. However, the late harvest activity has led to fall tillage being put off in some areas and also has delayed winter wheat planting and emergence. The week ended with only 3.3 days suitable for field work. Temperatures averaged 5.9 degrees above normal while precipitation was below normal. Topsoil moisture supplies were reported virtually unchanged from a week earlier at 1% short, 43% adequate, and 56% surplus. The wettest region of the state was the West Southwestern Crop Reporting District at 74% surplus. Corn harvest advanced by 12 percentage points last week to 72% complete, compared to 98% last year and 99% for the five-year average. For soybeans, 96% was reported harvested, compared to 100% last year and for the five-year averages. In other crops around the state, 91% of the sorghum crop was reported harvested, compared to 98% normally, and the soft red winter wheat seeding advanced to 92% complete, with 70% reported emerged. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending November 29th. Wet field conditions slowed farmers trying to finish the harvest, leaving the wettest fields for last. In some areas, the corn harvest will not finish until the ground freezes hard enough to support equipment. Harvest activity on the wet topsoil caused rutting and compaction in some fields. A few grain elevators continued to restrict grain deliveries due to the extra time needed to dry the wet grain. 84% of the corn crop is harvested compared to 99% for last year and 98% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 80% of the corn has been harvested in the north, 84% in the central region, and 93% in southern Indiana. The moisture content of harvested corn is averaging around 21%. 99% of the soybean acreage is harvested compared with 100% last year at this time and 99% for the five-year average. By area of the state, soybean harvest is 99% complete in north and central region and 97% in southern Indiana. The moisture content of harvested soybeans is unchanged from last week and is averaging around 13.5%. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending November 29, 2009. While most families gathered Thanksgiving Day, many Iowa farmers spent their holiday harvesting corn and tried to complete field work. With seemingly weekly rain showers, harvest progress continued this painfully slow process. As winter fast approaches, producers are ready to have this harvest season behind them. Dryers continue to run at capacity, with some shortages of propane being reported. Cattle producers now have ample stubble fields available for post-harvest gleaning. There were 4.3 days suitable for field work during the week, compared to 5.1 days last year. Reporters estimated 49% of cropland had fall applications of fertilizer complete, 8 percentage points ahead of last year, but 11 percentage points behind the five-year average. Corn harvested for grain reached 87%, remaining 6 percentage points behind last year and 15 days behind the five-year average. Nearly all the soybean crop was reported harvested, with southern Iowa the primary area with acreage still to be harvested. Again, this has been Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending November 29th. Just as a reminder, due to the lateness of the field work, we will be publishing a weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending Sunday, December 6th. It will be published on December 7th. Thank you.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly Crop Weather Report for the week ending November 29th. 2009. Light rain and snow slowed corn harvest compared to recent weeks. Producers harvested 12% of the state's corn crop during the week compared to 23% a week ago and 20% 2 weeks ago. Statewide, corn harvest was 78% complete. Average moisture of corn being harvested was 21%. That's 1 percentage point below last week, but that's 3 points higher than last year and 4 points above the five-year average. Respondents continue to note additional drying time and propane availability as corn harvest progress factors. That's the weekly Crop Weather Report for the week ending November 29, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the energy market is Harry Cooney of GrowMark. He is in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Harry.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I want to begin with crude oil today and talk about it because over the last several weeks we saw a pretty sharp little bit of a rally and then a setback, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are technically looking at the crude oil chart.
This has really been an exciting trade in crude oil. I mean, after topping out in October around $82, we've sold off into the middle 70s here as we got around Thanksgiving. Then this Dubai problem came up when the world stock markets weakened dramatically there on Friday, and crude oil traded all the way down to almost $72 intraday on Friday, and has rallied back yesterday and today, and here we are right back up at $78. It just shows that we have a lot of buyers under the market. The chart pattern, overall, the swings are higher highs and higher lows. If you look at a little longer-term price chart, like a weekly price chart, the swings up and down and up and down, they go higher than the previous high, and the lows are higher than the previous lows. So that really still shows we're in an overall uptrend.
Yeah, I keep an eye on a composite weekly chart. Lead option month, and the Friday's trade didn't violate the uptrend line, and it turned out to be something of a bear trap, as it were. And it looks to me like if you look at the 200-week moving average, that might give you a signal about what's going on.
Yeah, it's it just doesn't want to break much, and like you say, it finds support above the 200-week. And just like today, here comes the stock market back to life, up 100 and let's see here, right now on the Dow, up about 140 points, 10,000, almost 10,500. And at the same time, the dollar is tumbling this week now back under 75 in the futures. That was a key support level in the dollar, and we're crumbling back under it. So as the dollar declines, most commodities tend to rise, and also the stock market's rising. If the stock market continues to rally from here, that may give the indication that the economy is not in as weak a shape as some economists have been talking, and thus that is bullish for fuel demand. So the Dow and the dollar have kind of been going one and one with each other here in the past 6 or 8 months.
So take it back to the producer who has to book propane and other energy needs. Does this change the thoughts that we had last week? And first off, tell what those were and the timeline that you might want to do your booking.
Sure. Very good questions. Our thoughts have been, and I outlined a little bit last week, this window of opportunity here between about Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day to do contracting for next year. We still see that as a very viable period to start doing contracting. However, when we see these sharp setbacks that don't last any more than an hour or two, it makes us a little frustrated with the market that it's not giving us a little better opportunity. However, at some point here over the next few weeks, we'll probably go ahead and start our first 10 or 15% of contracting for next year and hope that's the highest price we pay. Then over time, at the next few weeks and months out into January and February, we'll start layering in more increments and average them all together. Hopefully we can get even cheaper prices, but if we don't, at least we have a stake in the sand then.
What else are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I think the dollar and the Dow are probably two of the most important things right in here now to watch. And again, if we continue to see the action in the Dow and the dollar like we saw today, a dollar lower, Dow higher, that's going to be very key to our oil prices here in the near term.
What do you make of the RBOB?
Again, it's kind of following the stock market, the crude oil market. It's following the crude market. Pretty strong for at this time of year, though, I'll have to say. Here in the past few years, we've had some nice dips and breaks in gasoline prices right around Thanksgiving to Christmas. This year, we've had a little bit of a dip. Retail prices have dipped some in the past couple weeks here. But, boy, just not quite as much as we had hoped for.
Thank you much, Harry.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Harry Cooney of Grow Mark in Bloomington, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll look at agricultural weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bostert. The author of the University of Illinois' Flash Economic Index says any noticeable recovery in unemployment may happen well after the statistics point to economic recovery. In November, the index measured 91, well below the threshold for economic growth, but it's improved one whole percentage point in the last 2 months. But U of I economist Fred Gertz says the state may not have seen its highest unemployment rate in the current recession just yet. Gertz says unemployment often lags behind economic improvement. With some communities banning video gambling, the horse racing industry is again lobbying for machines at Illinois racetracks. Racing officials today said giving them video gambling machines could help make up revenue the state won't get from communities that ban it. But a state revenue forecasting agency isn't sounding the alarm. The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability says there's no need to change its revenue forecast for video gambling. Illinois is counting on money from video gaming to help finance part of a statewide construction program. Illinois' gaming board says about 40 communities or counties have so far opted out. Lawmakers this year approved allowing up to 5 video gambling machines at drinking establishments, including bars and restaurants. Urbana Mayor Laurel Prussing has been named to a governor's panel that will make recommendations for strengthening education in Illinois. Governor Pat Quinn says the P20 Council will play a large role in the state's efforts to win about $400 million in federal Race to the Top discretionary funds. The competitive grant process for awarding more than $4 billion to states focuses on innovative approaches to education. Quinn today named 25 people to the P20 Council. In addition to Prussing, the diverse group includes Chicago Public Schools CEO Ron Huberman and a number of state legislators, business leaders, and teachers. The lawyer for a man accused of cheating hundreds of investors in a Ponzi scheme says his client will plead guilty. Attorney John Mayer says David Hernandez may enter his plea at his next court date on January 20th. He says the specific charge has yet to be negotiated with federal prosecutors in Chicago, but he says substantial prison time is likely. Hernandez is accused of swindling 290 investors in his Next Step Financial Services out of $3.5 million, promising returns of 10% to 16%. I'm Jeff Bossert.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Looks like we'll begin our talk today with Argentina, where it looks to me, as I take a peek at the maps, that things are a little bit on the drier side now.
They are a little bit drier now. They did have a little bit of moisture over the last week or so, but it is going to be a little bit drier there, at least through from what we're seeing into the early portions of next week. Any shower activity will be spotty between now and then. Now, if the long-range charts are correct, there is some opportunity for Argentina maybe to pick up some better chances for moisture sometime around next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, somewhere around there. The chances for moisture might get a little bit better. Where there will be better moisture short term will be for their neighbors up north, as rain chances in Brazil look pretty good.
But I suspect that the soil has plenty of moisture in it, and this shouldn't be a problem.
So it does have plenty of moisture, although there are still some areas of Argentina that are a little bit on the dry side. So a little more rain would certainly help out, and of course, we'll have some dry areas popping up with the forecast for Argentina looking dry between now and the weekend.
What are the dry parts of Argentina at the moment?
Well, especially the central and the southwest and western growing areas. Those are areas that have not seen as much moisture as areas to the north.
And then net drying in Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, those kind of places in Brazil?
Yeah, those areas are definitely looking at a drier trend in the weather pattern. If things hold, though, they'll get a little bit of relief mid to late next week.
Let's turn our attention to the Midwest, where, golly, it's winter.
Yeah, and boy, about ready to be much more like winter. We're going to see probably the first wave of cold that we've seen in several weeks across the United States, really for most of the month of November. We didn't have any really big serious surges of cold air like we did in October, but boy, December going to start off with a big air mass coming right out of north-central Canada into the lower 48 states. Most of the nation over the next 10 days will have below normal temperatures starting tomorrow, and this is going to lead to some opportunities for some snow events across the country, maybe some rain along the west coast as well. This is the whole country. Over the next week or two, we'll see some very active winter weather.
So daytime temperatures in the 30s, evenings in the 20s?
Evenings in the 20s, and I see it getting colder than that as the cold air initially will drop into the northern Rockies and northern Plains states, and as that colder air midweek this week gets into the Midwest this weekend and early next week, we may be colder than that. I could see some days in the Midwest only in the 20s by this weekend and early next week.
And then is there a period of moderation after that?
Not much of one. I do see temperatures moderating early to mid-next week, only to see getting colder again by mid to late next week. There's going to be a pattern setting up for a week or two that will be favorable for a lot of Canadian air to settle south into the lower 48.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that's today's closing market report. You can listen to today's futures analysis, energy analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.